Lunch was good. Had to get a deep breath, push that pork down a little bit farther. Amen. Good lunch. The only bad thing about it was is when you're preaching, you can only eat one. But it was good. Thank you to church here, Brother Nelson, and so much work that has been done in preparation for it, and all the things that go on behind the scenes that is a lot of work. And I appreciate that, appreciate the sacrifice, and appreciate the heart to have a conference. And all we can do is afford you teenagers an opportunity to hear God's Word and let God speak to you. It's up to you what you're going to do with it. But I want to thank those who have worked so hard to afford the opportunity. They've done the work to bring it in and have a theme and do things that that will help. Get your mind. Nothing wrong with having some fun. That's all. That's fine. But I appreciate there's a theme and there everything that goes with it to focus you on. You know, there's a purpose to this. So certainly do appreciate the opportunity to be here. Appreciate the opportunity anytime to open. I always say open God's Word before God's people. It is a special privilege, and don't take that lightly. And I certainly appreciate that. Boy, it's amazing. I'm sitting out there and talking about how kids get older, and I mean the kids that are up here, I remember them when they were like this tall. I was saying that, and they're like, well, have you looked at your kids? Like, well, I guess when they're your kids, you know, they're just growing up, and you're not necessarily noticing so much, and then you're like, whoa, man, they're supposed to be like way, way smaller than that. But boy, time goes, you all age. Says the preacher as he puts his reading glasses on. Let's take our Bibles. Stand with me. One more time this afternoon, stand with me in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Just one verse for our text this afternoon. Before you say amen, just how long can a preacher preach on one verse? We're fixing to find out. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, in all seriousness as we approach God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day you've given. Thank you for the opportunity to be with your people around your word. And as the teens are here and teen leaders and adults, and the opportunity that we've had to fellowship and eat lunch and laugh and talk about what God is doing in churches or lives. And boy, we've had a good time here. And Lord, I pray though that you'd help us focus in on your word for this last message. Lord, may our hearts be open. And Lord, may we listen on purpose to hear what you have for us this afternoon. God, I'm thankful that you speak to us. Thankful that you have a direction for us. And God, that you don't try to hide it from us. You work in our life. You speak to us. And God, I pray, especially this afternoon, that we would focus in on what you would have for us. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated this afternoon. 2 Kings 2:9 here, we see the request here. We see Elijah and Elisha together. And it's interesting. You see, it looks like Elijah is giving Elisha, you could say, like a blank check here. What would you do this afternoon if God said, hey, Brother Nelson, I'll do anything you want to do. What would you have for me to do? Ooh. I mean, think of that, teens. What if you just had a blank check? What would you ask for? I'll tell you, what you ask for says a lot about where your heart is set. Well, what would you ask for? Oh boy, you hear today and people get out and they say, boy, here's what you need to do. And I hear people giving teens advice, and I always caution my children and the teens in our church, be careful taking advice from other teens for sure, but from even other adults that may be well-meaning and they give advice and you just think, hey, son, come over here. Don't listen to anything that guy has to say about what you need to do. He may have well intentions, but that is not Bible. That just is not right, what God would have you to do. And you hear stuff like this today. Boy, teens, if you're going to be successful and if you're going to do something in this life, you need to set your goals on something and you need to be all that you can be and you need to find what you're good at and you need to get in that and you just need to set your mind upon something and then get after it. I think, well, that's like kind of like rat poison. There's a bunch of truth there. There's some good stuff there, but there's also some bad stuff mixed in there. Yeah. The problem is you can set your mind on something, on being whatever you want to be, and you might actually do that. I'm not talking about going out being a drug pusher or something like that. I'm talking about setting your mind to, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company one day. And you know what? If you've got the perseverance, and if you've got the dedication, and if you've got the brain power, you may do that. Say, yes, I achieved what I wanted to achieve, and die empty in here. You can set your mind to something, and you can go get it. I believe we ought to set our mind to something. I'm certainly not condoning sitting around on the couch waiting for God to tell you something. God doesn't say, you just be lazy and sit around doing nothing, I'm going to drop something in your lap. No, you need to be busy. You need to be busy for the Lord, but understanding this, what would you ask for if He just said, hey, I'll give you whatever you want? That's what's happening right here. Here's Elisha and Elijah. Elisha is given a blank check. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. We see a lot about Elisha just right here. What does Elisha have to say? I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I want to encourage you this afternoon to think spiritually. This does not mean that everyone that's in this room needs to be a pastor or missionary or pastor's wife and missionary's wife. Folks, we get stuff scrambled around too often. That is not what thinking spiritually means. It was brought up earlier that you can think spiritually and be a construction worker. That's what God has for you to do. I'll say this, if God's got you called and God's working on your heart to be a pastor, you better not be a construction worker. Because it won't work out well. You say, oh no, I don't know. I see the battles that preachers go through. Hey. Man, get your eyes off that and get your eyes on the Lord. Amen. What does God want me to do? Am I saved? There's a very important question. That is the primary question in life you need to answer. Am I sure I'm saved? Like Bible sure I'm saved. Like willing to swing over hell on my testimony. Amen. Another important question, I'm not going to number them, I don't get into that. Second most important, third most important. Am I saved? That's primary. We do know that. That is number one. Nothing more important than am I saved? Then what does God have for my life? You know, as a teen, you may think, boy, I think this is what God has for my life, or that what He has for my life. I want to encourage you, though, think spiritually. Think with a spiritual mind. Elisha gets asked, hey, whatever you want. What do you have me do for you before I leave? Okay, I've kind of got my eye on a 2015. I've always wanted that cottage on the lake. Come on. With a boat there, closet full of hunting clothes downstairs. Needs to be on a square mile so that I can hunt and not have neighbors on top of me. And hey, Elijah, keep writing. We're not done yet. This doesn't mean if you think spiritually that you can't have anything materially. Don't get that in your mind. I've either got to pick having stuff or having God. You don't necessarily have to choose having stuff or having God. I met poor people who are very carnal, and I've met rich people who are very spiritual. I say it time and time again, it's not you having possessions that sidetracks you, it's when your possessions start possessing you. Then you're gone. What would you ask for, though? Elisha here has been appointed by God. Elisha here has left his position. He's left his possessions. He's left his parents. He's left a lot of things in preaching and in our churches and the preaching that you would hear. There's a lot of times where you hear, and it is good preaching on things, you ought not be involved in this, or you shouldn't do this, or you need to empty yourself of that, or you need to get rid of that. And Elisha had to empty himself of his possessions. He had to leave what he was doing. He left his parents. He did these things. But I want to say it's not enough just to leave off doing something. You've got to be filled with something that's right as well. It's not just enough that says you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. Well, what are you filling up your time and all that with the stuff that you've quit? Right. It's got to be the right stuff. Elisha here has left off, he's left off a whole bunch of stuff, but you notice who he's with.
Right.
He's there with Elijah. He hasn't quit a whole bunch of stuff, and then he's just sitting around doing nothing. It can be even more dangerous what you might pick up when that happens.
Yeah, right.
He's involved. He is in the right place and he's doing the right things. Understand this, our Bible exhorts us in that we're to be dead to the world. Too many people just stop there though, they're just like dead altogether. I say it time and time and time again. Boy, preaching, they say, boy, you look like you're excited about what you're preaching. I said, if I'm not, I need to sit down and someone else needs to do it. Oh, it's not a show. It's not a game show. It's not joke time. It always seems a few elk hunting stories somehow find their way into my outline, whether they're written down or not. That's okay. Long as they fit in there some way, and it's not just story time. Read a text, tell a whole bunch of stories, close your Bible, and teens are like, that was awesome. That was the greatest thing ever. Did you hear about when he did this in the fishing boat and when he did this in the... Okay, now how'd God speak to you? I don't know, but man, he was great. I mean, you remember the time when he almost fell off the side of the mountain? Well, hey, wait a minute. There's got to be some spiritual truth there that connects somewhere that you say, that's what it's about. We're to be dead to the world, but it's not enough to stop there and say, I don't do a whole bunch of things. We're supposed to be alive unto God. Amen. Nobody's interested in just a flat old dead Christian. He's just dead. He doesn't do a whole lot of stuff. I'm telling you what, there's a whole lot of things in the world I don't do because I'm not supposed to do them and God wouldn't be pleased. Right, right. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that I have a great time doing that God doesn't have any problem with.
Amen.
And they can see God's people aren't a bunch of stick-in-the-mud toads.
Amen.
Now, if that's what they want to call me because I won't go drinking or won't go to the casino or I won't go gambling or I won't sit around and do this and I won't compromise, well, then I guess I am a stick-in-the-mud toad, but I'm having a good time doing what I'm doing. It's this. It's not enough just to be dead to the world. We've got to be alive unto God. There needs to be some life there. And Elisha here, he had left family and he had left his possessions and he had left his parents and he had left all of those things. But notice he is here with Elijah. He's alongside with Elijah and he says, I want a double portion of the Spirit that rests upon you to rest upon me. Hey, the power that's in your ministry, I want that in my ministry. That's what I want. When I thought about this and Brother Nelson said, gave me the theme and said, you are the future, and it immediately came to my mind with Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah going to pass off the scene and the mantle had to pass to somebody. Somebody had to pick it up. Somebody had to take it. And I'm saying today, over and over, there are men and there are aged men that are in churches that may not be the pastor. They just may be a lay person, but they love God and they are dead to the world and they're alive to God and they're phasing off the scene. And there are preachers. Oh, there are preachers the same way that have reached an age and they have to retire. And folks, who's filling the ranks behind them? Who is coming up? Who's coming behind them? And I want to say, it's right here. Time and time and time again, I want to say, you look around and you can kind of take this for granted, but understand this, if it's not you, who's it going to be?
Amen.
Who's it going to be if it's not going to be you? Well, as mentioned, you're going to get out from under your parents' home at some point, and then it's going to be up to you. What am I going to do with my family? I'm the leader of my family. What am I going to do? Are we going to be in church every time the doors are open? Are we going to serve God? What are we going to do? And you say, oh, come on. That is a long ways away from happening to me. You're going to blink your eyes twice, and you're going to be there.
Right. Amen.
I mean, it goes by quick. Time just goes shooting by. I mean, it seems like we just got here. I'm speaking of like my family. I remember when we came to Knob Noster. And Abby was in the nursery. And the only person that she went scream and squeal and holler for was Miss Anna. Of all people. No. Understand what I'm saying of all people. Miss Anna is the quiet, meek, godly lady. But she's Indian. You know, she's dark looking. You'd think so for any kid that would be like, oh, wait a minute, you're leaving me with her. She's different. I don't know about this. You could leave her with any of the other ladies. And in the building over there, the nursery was like where everybody in the auditorium could hear the baby screaming. Everybody knew Abby screamed because she just screamed the whole entire time she was back there. We'd come in and think, oh, Miss Anna's got the nursery tonight. Wonderful. I'm embarrassing her to death. That's okay. She's getting married the end of this month. She's got a few more coming to her, all right? That's what I'm saying. It goes by quick.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're marrying them off. Time goes by fast. It just goes shooting by. Elisha says, I want the same power that's in your ministry. Not only do I want the same power, I want a double portion of what you've got. He wasn't looking at the material. He said, boy, the spirit that rests upon you, I want to supersize that. Yes, I want to go large. Amen. I'll take a double portion of that. That's what I want. Boy, Elisha here, he has his mind set on the spiritual. And I want to say so many teens go wrong between being a teen and becoming an adult because they aren't thinking spiritually. They wouldn't say, boy, let me have a double portion of the spirit that rests upon my pastor or my youth leader or someone else spiritually and say, that's what I want. I want God to work in my life twofold like God's worked in their life. They're thinking, I can't wait to get out so I can buy me a big truck. Or I can't wait to go out, girls, so I can just get married and live this life. And they're not thinking, boy, what I need to be focusing on is my life ahead of me and what is spiritual and the spiritual, the consequences that come with choosing the wrong thing. You can choose the wrong thing, but you can't choose the consequences that come with it. Need to remember that. You go out in the world and you can choose to sin. You cannot choose the consequences that will come flooding into your life. First of all, Elisha had to have a determination. We're going to see this kind of dovetails in a little bit with the message that Brother Davis brought this morning. I don't mind at all when things kind of fit together or dovetail in and a little bit of overlap. There's going to be a little bit of overlap. I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful, bring it up when I preach, I'm thankful I didn't just hear the gospel one time. I'm thankful there was some repetition. Because you know what I needed? I needed repetition before I actually got saved. First of all, though, you need to understand this. Elisha had to have determination. You can say, all right, Brother O'Neill, I'm telling you what, I know I need to think spiritual and I need to say, boy, if this is what I could have in my life, I would choose this. I see God's working upon this man's life or this woman's life, and if I could say anything, I'd say, give me some of what Brother Mackey has, and if you don't mind, give me a double portion of it as well. That's what I want. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm telling you, role models, it makes me sick. Had it up to here with the role models that the teenagers in our churches have. They look at these role models and they're like, oh, I want to be like him. Yeah, he's had 13 wives and he's got 72 children by however many of them, and he's your role model? What are we doing? We got some actress or actor or Hollywood type or singer, stuff put up posters on the wall and they're like, that's what I want. And you're thinking, they're the most miserable person you probably know. Because the only way they get joy is when they get doped up. I don't need any dope to have a lot of joy. They're the ones who have it bad. They got to do stuff. They got to get liquored up or doped up for them to be able to say, man, we had a blast. I don't need any of that mess. I have a blast without it, and I have none of their nasty consequences, and God is pleased with my kind of having a blast. So I want a double portion of that. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having a role model and saying, you know, that man in our church or that lady, boy, the spirit that she has or that spirit that he has, well, that's what I want. I'm not talking about idolizing people. Stop putting words in my mouth. What I'm saying is there's nothing wrong, though, with saying, boy, I'd like God to work in my life like he's worked in their life. God, I'd like my family. Boy, if you give me kids and that, as I get, I'd like my family to look like that family right there. God, that's what I'd like. I'd like you to, I want a double portion of what he's got. Come on, help me get off the first page here. It's one thing if you say that. This is where the little bit of overlap is. You got to have a determination, though, if you're going to make it happen. It's one thing to sit in a teen conference and say, whoo, man, all right, you have convinced me. And I don't want to make light of that, though. That is the first step. All right, you've convinced me I need to do that. You better have some determination if you're going to make it work, though. If you say, well, I'm going to think spiritual, and I'm going to think spiritually, and that is what I want, and that's what the most important thing I want to reach the end of my life and be able to turn around and look back and say, boy, has God worked through my life in a marvelous way. Oh, not patting yourself on the back. God can make the rocks cry out. You say, I'm dumber than a box of rocks. So He can make you cry out. He can make them cry out on the side of the road. It doesn't take any of that. I'm not talking about in pride and being puffed up and saying, look what God has done in my ministry. Oh, shut up and sit down. He can work through anybody He wants to. But it's about being able to turn around and look back and saying, boy, He's been good in my life. Thank the Lord He's worked in my life. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my life. The ministry You've allowed me to have. Hey, you can have a ministry in your local church. You know, I say, well, I'm a pastor and called in the ministry. Yes, there is a ministry and a higher calling to that. Well, you can be in the ministry just serving in your local church. But what I want to say is the very first thing you better have is determination. You better have some determination if you're going to make that stick. If it's going to be more than a decision. Yeah, the decision has to be made. But when the decision's made, there's got to be determination. I want us to look. Here's what's leading up to this. We're sticking in our text here, 2 Kings chapter 2. So we've read verse 9 for our text, but let's see what leads up to that. 2 Kings 2 verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into the heaven by whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, well, y'all are such a blessing. He said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. I want to say, you read this and you can just see over and over and over, Elisha has some determination about him. Hey, why don't you just wait here, brother? He says, I'm telling you what, you may tell me a lot of things, but I'm not leaving you. Take some determination. This is his mentor. This is a man of God saying, why don't you just, hey, brother, why don't you just stay here? It's going to get tough. Why don't you just sit back there and take it easy? Elisha here is a disciple of Elijah. It was Elijah who had done what? Cast his mantle upon Elisha. And here is Elijah saying to Elisha, why don't you just stay back? Why don't you just wait right here? You don't need to come with me. Elisha here has followed him around. He has ministered to him. But I want to say, does that not strike you as odd? That Elijah would be, Elijah knows, I've cast my mantle upon this man and he is going to be the next prophet. And yet, doesn't that seem weird? Seems odd that Elijah would be saying, why don't you just stay right there? Why don't you just stay there while I go on? It's going to be a long journey. It's going to be a tough day today. You don't need to go through that. Why don't you just stay here? It just seems odd. Seems weird that his leader is telling him, stop. Hey, you've gone far enough. Leave me alone. I need to go on. And Elisha says, that's not going to fly with me. Wherever you go, I'm going. Whenever you stop, I'm stopping. Whenever you start, I'm starting. However many cities we're going to, I'm with you. I'm going to stick right there. You know what he had? He had a determination. It's one thing to say, okay, I'm leaving the family, I'm leaving the farm, I'm leaving my possessions, I'm leaving the oxen, I'm leaving the yoke, I'm leaving all that. But it's another thing then when you're on the path and he says, why don't you just stop right here? To have the determination that says, I didn't leave all that to stop. I didn't leave all that to stop here. Why would that happen? You know why? Because Elijah was testing him. Elijah was testing him. Hey, there's testings that occur. Elijah's testing him. What does it take to make you quit? What does it take to make you quit? I need to know that. Hey, Elijah is here and he's fixing to pass the mantle off to Elisha and he says, I want to know if I've got a little sissy here. What's it going to take to make him quit? I'm telling you what, if that's all it takes to make you quit, you're pretty soft. Why don't you just wait here? It's going to be a long journey between these cities. Your feet might get tired. Give him a binky and a blankie. Teens, you're going to get out there and you're going to find that there's some things that are going to challenge you that you don't even know the challenges that await you, and there's going to be the opportunity to quit. Oh, boy, I've mentioned it over and over. My dad always told me, son, anybody can quit. Don't be like everybody else. It does not take anybody to quit. That's done me well in the ministry, I'll just say that. It'll do you well as a servant of God, whether you're a missionary, missionary's wife, pastor, pastor's wife, or whether you're in the pew as a godly layperson. I can be tested, but I'm not going to quit. You may call me stubborn, I don't care what you call it. There's got to be a determination. And sometimes it's a determination about things that you don't know that are going to occur. Just as, no, I want the power of God upon me. So there's going to be some roadblocks that come up in my life. I'm not stopping at a roadblock. I'm not going to stop when things get tough. And someone recommends, maybe it's just a little too tough for you. That just fires me up worse. He says, Elijah's telling him, hey, just why don't you wait here? Why don't you wait here? Why don't you just stay here? He's testing him, though. He's trying him. You might say he's proving him. And this is important because he needs to understand how important really is, how important are the things of God to him. And for those of us here today, we could look and we could say, however much of God you have today, however close to God you are today, is as close as you want to be. Elijah is saying to Elisha, how bad do you really want this? How much of God do you really want, even when it is going to entail some difficulties, some long travels between these three cities? There has to be a determination, even in difficulties. I want that double portion. Man. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop. I need to be closer to God.
Amen.
I need to have more of Him and less of me. There's got to be a determination that says along the way, though, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I can't stop here, Elijah. I'd be quitting halfway through. I can't do that. It's easy to say we want more power. I want a double portion. Too often, though, that rolls easy off the lips, but it's hard to live. Boy, that's what I want. There needs to be a determination, a dedication, and understand this as well. There's obstacles that come up. Say, all right, I want to be determined. I want to be determined, and I'm going to be dedicated. Understand this as you go through life. I'm serious when I say I'm trying to be an encouragement. Some of this stuff doesn't look very encouraging, but I'm telling you, this is going to happen. You are going to face discouragement in your life. You make a decision and say, boy, I'm leaving all this stuff behind and I'm following after that which is right, and I know I've had the mantle cast upon me and I know that is what I am supposed to do. There, you are going to face discouragement no matter who you are in your life. You're going to face situations that you could say, boy, this is discouraging, and too many folks that used to be involved in a youth group are out of church now because there's discouraging circumstances that come upon them and they quit on God because they got discouraged. Well, you better make up your mind. If I want a double portion, I'm going to need to be determined. And I know discouragement is coming. It's not a little pet bunny that you pet and say, oh, I'm so discouraged. Like it's this. Discouragement is not from God. But there are circumstances and situations you will find yourself in where you can become discouraged. Others will discourage you.
Right.
Oh, we find that here. You find Elisha discouraged. Elijah, you could say Elijah was discouraging him. Hey, just stay here. What do you mean, just stay here? I'm supposed to follow you. If I stay here, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. What are you discouraging me for? Well, why are you telling me this? Why are you doing this? Well, Elijah didn't really want to discourage him at all. I remember with Jacob when he's wrestling with the angel. They're wrestling around, and here is the angel and Jacob wrestling around. Think about this. You got a man and an angel. Who's going to win that? I think the Calvinists have a hard time with that verse. You got a man and an angel. Angel of the Lord. If God's so mighty that He overpowers certain people's will to be saved and doesn't let them, and then overpowers other people's will who don't want to be saved, but since He made them elect, He overpowers them and make them because God's all powerful. That just sounds weird. So if God always wins, what happened with Jacob wrestling here? God gives us a free will. He's sovereign enough. You say He's not a sovereign God if your will goes over His. No, He's perfectly sovereign because He's the one who allowed your will to go over His.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the sovereignty of God.
Man.
You say, I'm not going to be saved. You know what He'll let you do? Oh, He'll still work on you. He'll let you go your way. He's not going to make you do right. You know, sometimes I wish He'd just make me do right.
Amen.
I'd have a lot less consequences to deal with if I just always did right. But this discouragement here, and the angel saying, let me go, let me go. And you know, in reality, what that angel is saying? I hope he doesn't let me go. I hope he doesn't let me go. Jacob's got a hold of him. The angel's saying, turn loose of me. He's saying, I sure hope he doesn't turn loose of me. Turn loose of me, let me go. He says, I'll not let thee go. Give me a blessing. I'm not turning loose. He said, boy, that angel of the Lord seemed to be discouraging him, saying, let me go. No, deep down he's saying, hang on, Bubba. But I'm going to see if you'll just quit if I tell you to. Discouragement. Elijah's telling Elisha, just stay on here, just turn back. He was also discouraged by the difficulties. It was going to be a difficult road. You see that in verses 2 and verses 4 and verses 6. There's Gilgal, there's Bethel, and there's Jericho. We just kind of read those and go off that pretty quick and say, okay, that's what they're going to do. These weren't epicenters of Christianity where they're going to go to for a good dose of encouragement. God was showing him, and God's showing us, if we want a double portion of His Spirit, we better be determined enough not to let these things that could discourage us stop us somewhere along the way.
Amen.
He was determined. How about those as He went in the cities, the sons of the prophet? Weren't they a blessing? They're telling Him something He... already knows. The sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master away from thy head today? Then in verse 5, we see almost the exact same thing. You know, what were they doing? They're making fun of him. They're there saying, hey, you know what? Your master's fixing to die today. These are sons of the prophets. Folks, sometimes you'll find discouraging from the people who you would least expect it to come from.
Right.
He'd say, I thought they were my friend. You just better be careful. Notice Elisha, though. Elisha didn't sit down and have a pity party and say, you're right. I'd think about that. You're kidding me. He's going to be taken away. No, Elisha knew what was going to happen. Elisha knew, all right, this is happening. They were just insulting him. They were ridiculing him and mocking him. Hey, what are you doing with him? Hey, just in case you don't know, enjoy your last journey. This is it between you and him. He's going away. Boy, there's nothing like a brother encouraging you like that. Discouragement. You know, some people have been laughed out of and ridiculed out of their work for the Lord that God has for them in their life. They give up on their convictions when they get to be adults because somebody made fun of them. Because someone else who you would have least expected it coming from said, that's not that big of a deal. Whether you're in church or not, isn't that big of a deal. What you wear really isn't that big of a deal. Holding to those old standards and the old Bible and all that, it's not really that big of a deal. Hey, that's discouraging to someone who's been raised in a good church that says, well, if that's not that big of a deal, how come my parents stood for it and my preacher preached against it? And hey, you need to be careful. Discouragement will come in all forms and it can come from all places. Sons of the prophets. Boy, if they ought to be doing anything, they ought to be encouraging them. Amen. Stick with, hey, he's going to get taken away, but God's got a plan for you. Someone very close to him is fixing to get taken away. He wasn't going to quit on God over it. Well, we see in verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. I want us to see that Elisha wasn't afraid to be identified with Elijah. Hey, they go over the Jordan and they cross over the Jordan together. And that's the victorious Christian life. You hear it and we say many times, Southern gospel music has a lot of bad doctrine in it. It's like one day I'm going to cross over Jordan and I'm going to enter into heaven. Well, you've crossed over Jordan hopefully a long time before that, before you enter into heaven. When they crossed over Jordan, they had a lot of fighting to do. They had a lot of enemies to slay. Crossing over the Jordan River, that just simply means that's the river of death. When you cross Jordan, it's, I'm entering into the victorious life. Understand this, he was identifying with Elijah. He had to pass over. They passed through Jordan, that river of death. Some things have to die. Going to have a victorious life. Going to say, boy, one of these days, boy, I am going to grow up. I'm going to grow out of my teen years, and I'm going to be an adult, and all of these things. Understand this, that Elisha and Elijah, as they're walking and they pass over the river Jordan, he is not afraid to be identified with Elijah. They two stood by the Jordan. He stayed close to Elijah. Cross over this river of death. He stuck with him. Think about the victorious life, and we think I've got to make myself holy so I can get closer to Christ. No, you need to get closer to Christ so He can make you more holy. I've got to get close to Him. You can take preaching and teaching and a whole bunch of things on the outside, and you can polish up everything on the outside, and then you can get away, and all that can just completely fall apart. You need to get close to Him. He's sticking right there with Elijah. He's right beside him. They cross the river. They've crossed the river of death. They've crossed that, and they're there. Elisha and Elijah are standing there together, and he's not afraid to cross this and to be over there and to be there with Elijah, and he's not afraid to be identified. Hey, don't be afraid to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
Don't be afraid of it. There, don't let a lost world dictate how you ought to look and where you ought to go.
Amen.
They're lost. I wasn't afraid to be identified with Elijah. He says, I'll go over there with him. I'm going to be right beside him. I'm going to be right here. I'm not afraid to be identified right here with him. Needs to be a determination. You need to deny yourself. Elisha's there with his master going down to the river of death. You willing to go down to the river of death with your master and say, there's some things need to die, and you know what? I'm willing to stick right here with him. It's not going to bother me at all to stick with him here. I'm not afraid to be identified with him. Notice, not everybody came with him.
Right.
Just the two of them. To be filled with the Spirit of God, to have a double portion of the Spirit of God rest upon your life. You need to deny yourself. This doesn't mean you deny, it doesn't mean you move off in the wilderness and sell all your stuff and sit up on top of the mountain. You can do all that and still not have denied yourself. Denying yourself is so much bigger than denying yourself things. It's denying myself. I'm not afraid to be identified with him and cross over the river of death, and there may be some things need to go and there's things that need to be followed. I'm not afraid to be identified with him. Elisha's not afraid to be identified with his master. So they, verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit rest upon me. I'm telling you what, he's ready to receive the power now. He's there and he has asked this. He's asked for a double portion, and he's asked for this. He desires this double portion of God's Spirit to come upon him. But look at verse 7, what has happened. It's a sad statement here. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. There's 50 of them, and they're standing a long ways away looking at what's happening. There's a sure way to miss out on the blessings of God, and that's to stand afar off and watch it happening within your church while you're not involved in it. You can be a member of a good church and coast while all the other people are working. Man, teens, boy, I encourage our teens, and our teens work. Get in. You can set up for a fellowship. You can tear down. You can clean the foyer. You can clean a bathroom. You can mow the yard. They stood and viewed afar off. We can't go into more. Just take my word for this. Those same sons of the prophets, when Elisha got carried away and they came to Elisha, they didn't really get to, it was kind of one of these deals. What just happened? They missed out on what really happened right there by Jordan. They missed it. How do you know they missed it? Because when Elisha came back, they said, you need to send some of us out to see if maybe God threw Elijah down in the rocks over there somewhere. I was like, what are you talking about? He got caught up to glory is what happened. Now, we're not so sure that's what happened. You know what? They had an improper view of God, those that stood afar off. They had an improper view of God. Like maybe God took Elijah, picked him up, and threw him down in the rocks, because that's what God does to his choice servants. What I'm saying is they missed out.
Right.
Teens, don't miss out.
Right.
You're a teen right now. You don't get to go back into, well, some people try to go back into their teen years, but don't miss out. Don't stand afar off looking at, wow, there's Elijah and Elisha, and something big's happening over there. Get on over there and get in the middle of it then. Man, something's happening in our church. Okay, what's happening in your life? Well, I don't know, but man, our church has got, there's something going on. There's a spirit of people, there's a spirit. Oh, all right, are you in the middle of it, or are you telling me that from afar off? Man, get right up there in the middle of that. Stand there, and they're viewing from afar off, and Elisha's like, fellas, you don't need to go look for him in the rocks. I stand right there, I can tell you what happened. God took him. God didn't take him and throw him down in the mountains, in the rocks, in the wilderness somewhere. He just took him. How do you know that? Man, let me tell you what it was like. Because I stand around. I'd much rather experience it and be right there than have somebody tell me about it.
Amen.
I don't want someone to have to tell me what it's like for God to work in their life. I'll be right there in the middle and say, no, this is what God's doing in my life. I don't need to hear from you. I don't need to stand far off and say, well, I think... He just got caught away. What was that? Elisha, a determination to overcome discouragement or anything that would sidetrack him from, no, I've made a decision on double portion. That's what I want. That's what my desire is. We're going to close with this right here. I want you to look at what happens. Verse 12, and Elisha... Verse 11, it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horsemen of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. In other words, I think God showed up. Here's a simple question today. Boy, God showed up. He didn't just show up by accident. Elisha had said, there's some things I need to leave behind. I need to leave the oxen and the yoke, and I need to leave possessions. I need to leave parents, and I need to leave some things, and I need to get after him. Elijah's cast his mantle upon me. And along that journey, there was discouragement and there were testings. Testings that came and tested from all different forms. Discouragement came. Opportunity to be discouraged from all different sides. He had toughed through that and said, it's not going to happen. They said, your master is going to be taken away. Hey, okay, whatever, I'm sticking with him. Elijah saying, hey, you might just want to stay here. He said, I'm not just staying here. Wherever you go, I've got a determination that backs up my decision. I am sticking with you. And in spite of discouragement that may come, I have made a decision and I am determined that I'm going to carry that out. You don't get the Spirit of God. You don't get a double portion by stopping. He had made that whole decision. He had gone down into the river of death with his master, willing to go down in the river of death when other people wouldn't go there. Folks, what I'm saying is, well, what a wonderful ending to this for Elisha. And you think, here he is and it's happened. And can you see him? Come on, get in your mind. Can you see him taking that mantle? Saying, where is the God of Elijah? Oh, there he is. Sons of the prophets didn't get that. They missed out. They could have gone, they could have had whatever names, titles, positions they wanted. You could keep all that. I'll take the God showing up. You know, but the question here this afternoon, that I want to leave you with is this. It's not the question, where is the God of Elijah? The real question is, where are the Elijahs of God? Where are the Elishas of God? Not where's the Lord God of Elijah. Where are the Elishas of God? Those who will say, I've made a decision, and I am determined that in spite of discouragement and in spite of obstacles that will come in my path, I want a double spirit. I want a double portion of that spirit, and nothing's going to stop me on the way. Amen.